Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 642. I am your host, Joshua Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat. I tried to say kitty cat and feline at the same time. Anyway, he's hanging out in the other room. As for now, I'm sure he'll come in and give a few words at some point, a few meows, if you will, so that he remains my trusty sidekick. He can't have me forgetting at any moment that he's my ride or die. Here we are, another episode. As I'm going through some caffeine withdrawals. I've mentioned in the past about, addiction to caffeine. As I get older, it seems to be more of a problem. I need more energy. And I'm not going to go down the road of meth. Not going down that road. Sorry, Fiener. Not going down that road. just getting jacked on caffeine gets me through the work week. I've been caffeine free though since fairly early Monday. I had half a monster on Monday, the very wee hours of the morning, just to get myself up, for the morn, top of the morning. I didn't finish it. I only did half. I had to lay off because I've been having caffeine headaches a lot on the weekends, forcing me to really not want to do much of anything. And I decided, like, fuck, I gotta do it. I've got like 14 days off coming up, because this is the slow time at my job, the slow time of the year, and they tend to shut down at least for a solid week or more during the holiday season, right around Christmas. So thankfully, I'm aware of that. And, I save vacation time just for that occasion. Now, I do have the opportunity to go in and work most of the days that are shut down, doing, like, painting and cleaning and stuff, which is terrible. I get antsy as someone that has consumed a lot of caffeine in my life. Probably not shocking that I get a little antsy of just like doing little piddly work, and I feel like I gotta be constantly moving and doing shit. But I guess if I did not volunteer. I'm cashing out vacation for that time, so I should be off. I think they have enough volunteers to where I don't have to do inventory. They are doing inventory on two of the days that they are shut down. Which I didn't have enough seniority last year. I did end up having to do inventory last year. Didn't get out of it. I think this year I've got enough seniority. There's enough people underneath me, and I believe I kind of glanced at the sheet where they had the signups for the volunteers. I'm thinking they had enough volunteers anyway, but I guess I won't know till next week for sure whether or not I have to work inventory. But I'm pretty confident that even if I did have to do inventory, it'd be like one, possibly 2 days. I think they have it scheduled for 2 days. Either way, I've got like 14 to like possibly 12 days off. And, I didn't want to have caffeine headaches going into those weeks. And so I tried, fuck it. Let's just cold turkey this shit. Well, I mean, the initial one, I was like, Monday I rolled around and I was like, oh, I've still got, you know, like five monsters. I guess at the time I had like six monsters left in a case inside my refrigerator. And I was just like, I went ahead and did it Monday morning. You know, Monday's, you know, harder than any other day really to get up. So it's like I needed a little extra just kick. And so I did it on Monday. But I've been good since. This is now Saturday as I'm recording this, and I have not had any other caffeine. I might go to Dave & Buster's later. And if that happens, I might end up having like a small Red Bull or something. I might have to do some caffeine because driving long distance in me, and I get tired driving. And one way to ensure that I don't get tired is to pop an energy drink. So we'll see if I. That's going to be a true test. That'll be a true test. But I've thought I was over it like midway through the week. I was like, I thought it was through the headaches and stuff. And then yesterday came, I started feeling it, after going to going to Ernesto's, the Mexican restaurant here in town, and just for a margarita, because we had our holiday lunch with steak at work and got off a little early. And after that, I didn't eat any food at Ernesto's, just went with a margarita. And started feeling a little bit of headache when I was leaving there. And then I was like, man, last night I was just dealing with it. I was trying to take Tylenol, putting a little vapor rub on my forehead, trying to clean some earwax out of my ears. Hopefully that would get some of the headache to go away if I just had some congestion go away. And that being said, yesterday was, I did manage to, you know, play some video games and stuff. It didn't completely debilitate me, but caffeine withdrawals suck. I can't imagine being, I know I've mentioned this in the past, but like if I was addicted to a real hardcore drug, if I was a heroin addict, man, I can't stand quitting caffeine. I don't want to see dead babies crawl up walls and shit coming down from the hair on. But yeah, that's what I've currently got going on. Currently, as I'm sitting here, I don't officially have a headache at the moment. By the time I finish recording this, there's a good chance it's going to sneak its way back in. I probably should have brought a water up here while I was recording this, but I did not. I might have to pause at some point to go get some water. The big thing to get rid of the caffeine headaches, and you want to stay hydrated. That is a big thing, and the hydration doesn't involve energy drinks or like coffee. I guess also another way to get rid of caffeine withdrawals is just to take more caffeine. But I was at a very high level of caffeine intake as I just keep talking about it as I was trying to segue out, but doing, you know, a monster a day, every day at work. And, on the weekends, had to drive a bunch, you know, I'm possibly taking a 500 energy doing some caffeine, doing large amounts of caffeine and, consecutively now for quite a while. And, it's not pleasant anyway. Yeah. There's some big news stories this week. I'm sure everyone's heard. There was, I almost started talking about Hakuto Girl, but I guess I'll go into the insurance thing at first. The United Healthcare CEO. I don't recall his name. I don't have the story in front of me. I know that, healthcare in this country is terrible, if you ask me, as far as costs are concerned. And regular people not being able to afford, you know, healthcare, you know, like stuff that they need to survive. You know, being like heart surgery, chemotherapy, whatever, you know, stuff that really you need in order to survive. And it's just not affordable for a very good chunk of the population in this country of, was it 330 million or ish? I'm not sure exactly what the official number is of the population here, but it's a very large percentage of that. That cannot, if a major surgery or something comes up, they just can't afford it, you know? And if you do manage to get the surgery or whatever, then you're in debt for the rest of your fucking life, however long or short that may be. And it fucking sucks. And it's, you know, only the richest of the rich can just go in like, oh, I can afford this surgery. It'll change my life and extend my life. Or just, you know, medication and whatnot. So, you know, I don't know that I want to go too deep into talking about this murder because I feel like maybe I don't want a recording of audio of how I truly feel about this guy getting assassinated, the CEO, which, you know, I'm not big fond of CEOs in general. The insane wealth gap that has occurred in the last, you know, several decades is just, I mean, beyond absurdity. No matter how bad a company is doing, the CEO pay just continues to balloon. And the percentage of pay they get as opposed to the people at the bottom, not even the bottom, you know, the CEOs get paid just percentage-wise. It's ridiculous. You know, I don't know. I mean, I guess it varies on what company, but it really doesn't matter which company in the end of, like, it's just horrible that the discrepancy, like all the money is just going funneling straight to the top. It's America in particularly, but I would imagine, I guess, all over the world, probably the CEOs make a fuck ton of money. But it's, you know, that's a pyramid scheme working, I guess. But all the money gets funneled to the top. Hearing that head of a insurance company, the CEO was assassinated. Yeah, I didn't have any fucking sympathy for him. I believe the number was the denial claims percentage of United Healthcare is, I believe, I want to say it was 32%. They'd put in, which I don't know if it's still active, they had set up an algorithm. A computer algorithm. They used AI to deny people claims. That there was not even a person that would, you know, have compassion or whatnot for if somebody had to have some surgery or whatever it was, some kind of healthcare issue. That they didn't talk to a person over it. It was just a computer that decided whether or not we're going to pay for that. And they had like an insane amount of denials of claims and the insurance company just not paying out. And I mean, that's beyond fucked up, if you ask me. And we've seen, if you're paying attention at all for the last, I don't know, year or two, with the insane amount of stuff that AI is doing, and then you see, I mean, you can see that AI is not what it is marketed as so much. I mean, if you want to see SpongeBob do a 9/11, it's good at that. it can't even do like a human handwrite, which is weird. It just copies other stuff in it when doing ChatGPT, and like the AI makes up shit. It fucking like lies, just complete bullshit. I mean, people have used it for legal arguments and everything, and needless to say, a lot of people didn't get the healthcare that they needed because their insurance company would not pay for it, or they were just having to pay for an insanely large medical bill. So I mean, this healthcare CEO, again, I don't know his name, and I'm not going to bother to look it up. I mean, it's in all the news. got a lot of blood on his hands. A lot of fucking blood. As an insane amount of blood. And he got gunned down in the street. It seems like karma. Seems like karma. I mean, I don't want to say that go around killing CEOs. I'm not going to advocate for that, but I'm not going to say that I feel that it's bad for all these executives now to be extra keeping an eye over their shoulder. You know, maybe this has opened up a conversation that, which is insane to me that, like, there hasn't. I mean, there's been a push here in the States to get like Medicare for all and whatnot, and it seemed like it was gaining momentum. And then, you know, as we see another Trump presidency just weeks away, that is completely kiboshed. It would appear as he does not have any interest in keeping prices lower or healthcare. I mean, you know, he wants to get rid of Obamacare/ACA, the Affordable Care Act. As Agent Fox Mulder is giving his thoughts, was your amputation covered, buddy? I don't know. That was before me. No, they didn't cover that. Anyway, yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem like the fight for cheaper healthcare in general has just stalled out and completely. I mean, I realize there are people still fighting for it, but. I mean, this is something that affects like 99% of Americans, like only, you know, like maybe the 1%, you know, I mean, I guess there's people below that would be able to afford a big medical emergency. But Agent Mulder is very vocal. As we'll see if we can get him up. Come here, dude. Last night I was playing video games and he bit the shit out of me. I was trying to play. Anyway, yeah, I don't, you know, I mean, I don't envision that now that there's going to be a bunch of people going after these CEOs and whatnot and assassinating them, but I think just the idea that there are people, normal people, well, again, we don't know anything about this shooter. He's obviously really thought this through before going through with it and hasn't given the police much to go off of to find him. But I'm going to venture to guess, you know, that there might be a few other people. I mean, there's, I'm sure, probably at this point, millions of people out there that have had family members die or just become completely bankrupt, or they themselves, you know, obviously not dead people are going to go after these people, but you know, if they went bankrupt after having some sort of life-saving surgery or, you know, had to have dialysis, whatever, I mean, they could potentially do the same thing that this fella did, but I mean, Agent Mulder is on the desk now as he's getting very, very angry at me for not paying enough attention. Anyway, he's making me lose focus. So I'm talking about a very serious subject matter here, and I think he wants me to get to the Hawk Tua girl. Yeah, I mean, it's possible that more people could go out and do this, but I think we're going to see, I find it improbable that like CEOs and whatnot are going to be like, oh shit. And seeing, I think that the more than just the killing is more of hey man, he's hitting his tail up against the keyboard and hitting buttons. Damn it. I would think probably more shocking than the murder, because I mean, this is America. People get shot dead every day, and good numbers, a lot of numbers. I don't know, good numbers. It's, you know, high numbers. That's probably a better way to describe that. High numbers of people get shot every day in America. Usually it's not the rich people though, with all the power. But I would think that the reaction by most Americans would probably put a little scare in the people with all the money, the one percenters, and seeing how the most Americans are like, yeah, I don't feel bad at all for this fella. And you know, I would hope that would lead to like, oh shit, maybe we should not be such money hungry vultures and not give a fuck about normal people. But I also just kind of feel like that's probably not going to really change them. It doesn't seem like much seems to change them. So I don't know what to really think about the shooting. I mean, I can't go around saying, you know, like, yeah, fucking kill them all. Like, that wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be good. But it has gotten a conversation started, which can lead to stuff, you know? Enough people, I think one thing that could possible good silver lining is that the percentage of people out there that have seen, you know, how other people, like when you see these comments just like on Facebook or what have you, and like these posts from United Healthcare and talking about how this awful tragedy has happened, and then you have all these people with just giving the simple gesture of laughing at it and giving a thumbs up just to like the announcement that this guy was murdered, that it's a wake up call to, you know, all the normal people in this country. They're like, oh, hey, oh yeah, the healthcare system is fucked up. And, you know, maybe, that most of the people here are kind of on board with the idea, not of the murder, but, of, you know, that this is fucked up and it shouldn't go on that way, you know? And that can often lead to change when enough people get together and realize, oh fuck, this needs to change. I mean, hopefully that it's a wake up call that be like, hey, let's we all agree this is fucked up. Except for the, you know, handful of people that are making billions of dollars off of us, of our family members dying and everything. The majority of us want this shit to stop. We want to be able to afford to, you know, go to the fucking doctor. And, yeah, as I don't know how to segue out of this. As I would like to try to type some shit into the computer here, but again, Agent Fox Mulder is laying right in front of me as he's blocking me from, let's see here. Here we go. I was able to type enough to get the right stuff here into the key computer. anyway, yeah. As I'll get to the Hawk Tua. Let's like some brighter, if you will, lighter news about scamming. Of course, I would imagine most people, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably familiar with the Hawk Tua girl, which Haley Welsh. She became, I think she's only like 21. She became famous because there was somebody did one of those interview videos where they do like TikToks or what have you, or YouTube, whatever. I don't know what it was, probably on several platforms, but somebody was, you know, doing interviews of people on the street, and something asked her something the effect of like relationship advice or something like that, and she said, "You got a Hawk Tua, spit on that thing," talking about, you know, giving somebody a blowjob. she became famous for that Hawk Tua, spit on that thing, which was fairly funny, I guess. little clip that is, I mean, all the guys at work, we always. Or you got a Hawk Tua of that thing. I mean, it's part of the lexicon now. The verbiage. It's like we got to clean these sensors at work for these duck arms and stuff we use to move steel. And you get the dirt gets on the sensor, and you got to clean it off. So I mean, you got a Hawk Tua. You got to spit on that thing. Keep it clean. I gotta admit, I was pretty surprised of that. How, like, I mean, I wasn't surprised how that video became viral. I mean, it's again, it's a good little short clip of the Hawk Tua spit on that thing. I was surprised that she started going on like all these fucking podcasts and shit. She went on Bill Maher's, which he was being all kinds of creepy to her. It seems like he wanted to fuck her really bad. Bill Maher's like in his 60s or possibly, I don't think he's quite 70. He's, I think, in his 60s, like early 60s. Anyway. Yeah, she's started her own podcast after being on like everyone's podcast. The Hawk Talk Tua is the podcast that she had started. I didn't realize till this whole scam thing came up that actually the Logan brothers were behind her getting a podcast, which makes sense that she's involved in a crypto scam now. If you know any small bit about the Logan brothers, of course, you know, there's Jake and Logan, which I guess was it Jake is the one that, shit, I get them both mixed up. One of them just fought Tyson in a match that was clearly it was a joke of a match, but at least the fight before it was pretty great. That one, the two women, Katie Taylor and the other woman, his name is faded from my memory at this moment. But yeah, anyway, the Logan brothers, they've been involved in crypto scams. I think it was Logan that yeah, Jake is the one that fought Tyson. Logan, he had the crypto zoo. There was a NFT game that he was supposed to put out, never put it out, but he sold these tokens for the game, and he's lost, I think, quite a bit of money over that because, I mean, it was a fucked straight-up scam. Which I would think most people nowadays would be aware that NFTs definitely are a fucking scam. And crypto in general is a fucking scam. But yet people still are involved in this crypto shit. There's fucking... there's like ATMs for it. Like I know at Casey's gas station, maybe they got rid of it. I feel like maybe they did get rid of it. But they had, at least had, a crypto fucking ATM in the fucking gas station. It's fucking ridiculous. But I would imagine, you know, most people, except for what, I mean, it's just, it's the get rich quick scheme, which, you know, I understand this. I play fucking the lottery. But I'm aware that when I spend those $2 on that ticket, that I'm most likely just setting that shit on fire. I might as well wipe my ass with it and just flush it without even waiting for the numbers to be drawn. Anyway, it's yeah, crypto's just straight fucking scam. And it's about to get like even bigger, I guess, because Trump is putting or trying to put Trades Commission. I don't remember the guy's name, but big crypto guy, and he's going to be involved in the Exchange Commission, whatever. And so there's going to be so much more crypto. Yay. Anyway, though, there's a... Oh, maybe I don't... I'm trying to look up this story, and I was like, oh, they're... I looked it up on Cointelegraph, which seems like a very Bitcoin... like a crypto-friendly news organization. I don't think I want to read off there. I'm going to get some very biased. Like, this isn't a scam. This is how we do business. See here. Oh, there's a Vice is still around. I thought Vice was basically gone. But Vice has a story on it. Let's fucking... At times they were good. At times. Let's see here what they have to say. It says, people are accusing the Hawk Tua girl, Haley Welsh, of a pump and dump scheme after the launch of her Hawk meme coin. Whether you love, hate, or merely feel indifferent about the Hawk Tua girl, you've likely seen the viral video of her street interview that sparked her rapid rise to fame. In recent months, Welsh has maintained her internet fandom through different collaborations and projects, the most recent being her meme coin. For context, meme coins are basically cryptocurrencies inspired by internet memes or pop culture reference / trends. This is pretty... on par for Welsh, considering how she got famous. It's the next thing you do is you scam. You scam after you get some brief notoriety or what have you, fame. It says here, before its launch, I ad-libbed that part, but the scammed. Before its launch, Welsh insisted her Hawk Tua meme coin was not just a cash grab, which it 100% was. However, quickly after it took off, it crashed with a 91% decline in value, and investors began accusing Welsh of taking part in a pump and dump scheme. Which pump and dump scheme sounds like a great VR porn category. Just saying. In a pump and dump scheme, fraudsters typically spread false or misleading information to create a buying frenzy that will pump up the price. Very Hans and Franzian. We'll bump you up, yes. And we'll bump up the price of a stock and then dump shares of the stock by selling their own shares at the inflated price. Investors.gov reported, once the fraudsters dump their shares and stop hyping the stock price typically falls and investors lose money. However, Welsh stated on X that her team hasn't sold one token and not one call was given one free token. We tried to stop snipers as best we could, though. High fees in the start of launch on Meteora AG, she added. Fees have not now been dropped. Stephen Findeisen, YouTuber and crypto journalist known as CoffeeZilla. CoffeeZilla is good. I forgot his real name. So obviously I don't know how to pronounce it correctly. CoffeeZilla, man, if you want to know about like the Logan brothers and their scams and basically anybody that scams people, dude, CoffeeZilla, he's great. Check out CoffeeZilla on YouTube. He spoke with Rolling Stone about this entire ordeal, sharing his insights. I think there were lots of signs this was not going to work. CoffeeZilla said they sold 17% of the tokens to insiders who had no lockup for their tokens. While they only released 3% of the public for trading, I get the sense that Welsh was misinformed, but also that Welsh saw dollar signs and didn't ask enough questions. Additionally, she didn't seem to take it too seriously when she was confronted, he told the outlet. I hope that she acknowledges the harm of what she did, intentional or not, and takes accountability to help her fans who lost money. Which, that's the end of this article. There was a... I know CoffeeZilla, they did a X group fucking phone call, whatever you want to fucking call it. I forgot what they call it. I don't spend time at all on X. But you can do like a group call, basically group chat, voice chat, and CoffeeZilla showed up in there. anytime you see that him show up, you know, like, oh fuck, there's some scamming going on. He's coming in to give his 2 cents. And there's phone, this, I guess you can find the audio of that, which again I don't have it apparently set up to where I can just hear the record the audio from this computer for whatever fucking reason. I thought I did. Apparently not. damn it. I'm just trying to see if I could find the audio of it. But he went in on this call and called her out during the call and whatnot, and you know, CoffeeZilla is a man doing the people's work. Hopefully it doesn't ever come out that he's not a good person, you know, but as of right now he's doing the, I don't have any reason to think that. I just just know about people, or you know, people. As the Crypto Times, I feel like they're going to be like, woo, there's nothing wrong here. See this? Or I guess maybe they might even be more pissed off because, like, you're showing how much of a scam our scam is. I was a little distracted by the honking outside. Is hopefully that's not my friend John. I guess I should look outside and see if that's him. No, I figured it was too early for him to be showing up. I told him to get a hold of me at like noon. It's 10:25. I should have a little bit of time before I hear from him. So, we'll see. I said get a hold of me too, but I feel like that he's just going to end up showing up. I haven't been to Dave & Buster's in years. Basically, we were just talking about maybe we just won't end up going to Dave & Buster's. I was saying, yeah, we should go play pool again because it was fun playing pool. They do have a work Christmas party, but I don't really think we're going to go today. I think it's today, not yesterday. Either way, they're having a work Christmas party. I don't know what time, but they had a place that had a pool table. Like, we're not really feeling going to a work Christmas party. I spent enough time at work. I don't need to be involved in more work shit, you know? I like to keep shit differently, apart. And you never know, there could be a lady friend, you know, if I want to go to a bar or something that has... some females and whatnot. I don't want it to be females that I work with, you know? I don't, not saying I'm going to hook up with anybody. I don't do that. I have VR porn for that. But I want to have the option there. I've learned not to shit where I eat. Anyway. we're going to possibly go to Dave & Buster's later. I did last week. I was talking about how I might go to the Blues game. I passed up on it. And one of the big reasons, going back full circle here to the beginning of this episode, one of the big reasons I ended up not wanting to go is because I had a fucking headache. I could have... There was plenty of friends I thought might be down for going to Blues game. I had talked to John from work, but he had his kids and couldn't get a sitter. So I was like, you know what? I really kind of don't feel like going anywhere anyway. Shouldn't probably spend the money on the Blues game. But I'm sure I probably would have gotten pretty jacked going to the Blues game, and I probably would have just had like a small Red Bull or something to give me help get rid of the caffeine withdrawal and headache. But that being said, I kind of lost track of where the fuck I was going with that. But, I didn't go to the game. And I decided to, they had a discount on FanDuel for Black Friday and whatnot. And it was a 10% discount. I don't remember what the fucking discount was. But I paid for the whole season on the FanDuel network to be able to watch all the games. So now I can have the ability to watch all the Blues games from home on my sofa. I can recline all the way back and then just watch Blues hockey. And I've done that since getting that. I've been watching every game. And it's been the boys in blue, wearing the blue note, they've been doing good since Evan Montgomery as the head coach now. And it's pretty exciting to watch. I probably will. I mean, I know I'm going to a game on January 3rd, but I'm probably going to go to one more game before that. We'll see what happens there. As I don't want to spend a whole lot of money doing it. Unfortunately, they are doing a lot of away games right now. I was hoping in the 14 days I was off that there would be like a game or two during the week that would be much cheaper to go to. Unfortunately, the days off, there's like a Sunday game that would be reasonable. I think there's like there might be a Thursday game in there. A Thursday game. Again, I'll have to look and see what the prices are. But I know there's like right before my 14 days off, there's a game that Tuesday, but like my day, like I don't have like like Monday through Friday off because like it's broken up weird, and we got, you know, Christmas and New Year's in there, where that's gonna kind of fuck things up for the holidays. But our first day off is actually like a Thursday, and. So there's like a Tuesday game, like right before that I get off that I could go to, but then I still have to work that Wednesday. And like that's rough. I start work at 6 a.m. So I get up fairly early to be able to go to work at 6 a.m. And going to the Blues game the night before and not leaving there till like 9 something, getting back at like 10:30, 11, just doesn't sound great to try to then I'm pretty old, man, to hawk to a to be able to go through to be able to, you know, just go in the next morning. And you know, I'd be down for doing it like once, maybe, I guess. It's definitely not something I'd want to do a whole lot of. As, yeah. I don't know, though. I mean, I'm pretty excited, though, for the Blues. It's been sad. I like what I see. They've only lost one game since Montgomery became the head coach. But this, you know, this can happen with a coaching change. You'll see a little bump at first. Guys will start playing better, and then it just kind of goes away. But so far, it seems that, you know, this is really, they're turning things around. And then, you know, of course, there's the 2019 Blues that won the Stanley Cup, where they had a coaching change, and they didn't fucking stop, man. After that, I mean, they did lose some home games. They notoriously lost some, quite a few home games. That being said, though, I mean, it was like almost overnight that once Berube came head coach, it was just a different team. And, well, really, I mean, Binnington becoming like the star goalie of the team. That whole team is like, oh, I'm getting misty eyed just thinking about it. But I've never had the ability, actually, though, to watch like every Blues game like this, like on my big TV, on my nice sofa. And back in the day when I used to watch more Blues games when I had cable, it was just whatever few games that they would actually fucking air on TV. I wasn't able to watch like every one of them. Not everyone was broadcast. With the FanDuel, I should get every game. I don't know. Maybe there is some that are blacked out, but as far as I know, I get to watch like every fucking game. I'm excited to watch the Winter Classic, which is going on at Wrigley Field there in Chicago. Which I believe the Blackhawks were one of the original six. Am I wrong on that? I think so. Of the original six NHL teams. Which I want to say, I think, is that the 31st? December 31st? I think that's the Winter Classic. Because that's when they're playing. I know it's in Wrigley Field. I want to say it's right on New Year's Eve. Oh, which means, oh, shit. I normally go to Jackman's for New Year's Eve, and I wonder if I'll be able to get him to put the Blues game on. Hopefully. I'm like, oh, I've gotta watch this Winter Classic. I didn't think about it being New Year's Eve. Yeah, it is December 31st. So New Year's Eve is the Winter Classic. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I like the jerseys, the Winter Classic jerseys. I haven't bought one. I'm going to try not to do that. Hopefully after the game, then they'll have them on sale at some point to get rid of inventory on it. And I'll be able to pick it up at a discount. But, yeah, I mean, I've been playing a little bit of the NHL 24 on the PS5. Which hockey games can be a little screwy. Like the playing the controls and shit on them. I mean, I remember playing them quite a bit on, like, I couldn't tell you who made it and stuff at the time, but I remember on the Sega Genesis playing quite a bit of hockey. You know, back in the fucking day, back in my my youth, when I was a youth. However, Joe Pesci said that on My Cousin Vinny, Utes. Or no, not Joe. It was the Utes. Back when I was Ute. Something like that. I haven't seen that movie forever. Oh, Marissa Tomei. She's still looking good. She's like in her 60s. That's a true American legend right there. Joe Pesci, not too bad himself either. I mean, I would. Fun fact, I believe Joe Pesci, going down a different road here, I believe Joe Pesci was in a band with Jimi Hendrix at one point. I'm pretty sure. I don't think he was working on his My Cousin Vinny accent at that point, though. Let's see here. Far Out magazine has some stuff about it. Oh, this classic picture of Joe Pesci. Oh, that looks like Goodfellas era Pesci. I don't think that's like, because he was a lot younger when he played with Hendrix here. Let's see here. This is on the Far Out magazine.co.uk. The obscure musical link between Jimi Hendrix and Joe Pesci. Jimi Hendrix and Joe Pesci are two names that are renowned in their own domains of the entertainment industry. Hendrix, a musician, and Pesci, an actor. Given that they operate in two different worlds, how can there be any link between the two? Little known is the fact that the two popular personalities had crossed each other's paths for a brief moment, a time before either of them gained popularity in their own professions. While they were performing in a band called Joey D and the Starlighters, I'm down. Sounds good. I don't know if there's any audio of Joey D and the Starlighters. Hendrix, a now iconic American singer, songwriter, and musician, is revered not only for his 4 years of mainstream success as a featured artist, but also for his brilliant and pioneering skills on the electric guitar. He was one of the most influential guitarists of the 20th century. It should be noted, just of all time. Come on, Hendrix is the greatest. A creative who changed the course of popular music in an instant. Pesci, meanwhile, began a life as a musician, too. While his skills on stage didn't follow the same path as Hendrix, he soon rose... Yeah, this is weird how they fucking word this. Rose to acclaim as an actor after his collaboration with Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro in films such as Raging Bull in 1980 and 10 years later in the gangster hit Goodfellas. Given his undeniable legacy, a younger audience will associate Pesci for his now-famed comedy roles in the first two films of the Home Alone series. In the 60s, man, they didn't mention My Cousin Vinny. Fuckers. In the 60s, however, both Hendrix and Pesci were struggling to make their place in the entertainment industry. Hendrix was working as an R&B musician while Pesci was working as a barber. I don't remember that part about Pesci. It was in the 60s that they both started playing with the house band Joey D and the Starlighters, the band whose most notable lineup consisted of Joey D, David Brigati, Larry Vernieri on vocals, Carlton Lattimore on organ, Sam Taylor on guitar, and Willie Davis on drums gained popularity with the release of their record A Peppermint Twist. The group was performing at the Peppermint Lounge in Manhattan, and the song was a tribute to the venue. The song drew on the twist dance craze, which they popularized with the release of their hit single. Joe Pesci, it turns out, played the guitar with the band for a brief period in the 60s before he released his own debut album, Little Joe Sure Can Sing, in 1968. While Jimi Hendrix didn't join the group until later... in a postcard to his father in 65, Hendrix wrote, "We're in Boston, Mass. We'll be here for about 10 days. We're actually playing in Revere. Tell Ernie I'm in her home state. I'm playing up here with Joey D and the Starlighters." While Hendrix and Pesci did not play with Joey D and the Starlighters at the same time, oh, they didn't play. That's a shame. And it was just a passing phase before their individual careers took off. They were part of something big. The Peppermint Twist caused quite a stir amongst its audience and represented a stepping stone in the cultural evolution of the music industry. Yeah, it would have been... I guess there is some video, of course, of the Peppermint Twist, Joey D and the Starlighters, but I don't know if there is any of with Pesci. Looks like Hendrix might be in that video. As I can't find my phone. I'm just looking at the thumbnail. Oh, Shelley just sent me a picture of a movie poster of Blind Fury. The Rutger Hauer classic, I got to say. Rutger Hauer classic film where he's a... Is he a cop? I don't remember. I don't think he's a cop. He's like a vigilante. Out for vengeance. Blind Fury. Where he is blind and using a sword and shit. Taking on the criminals. Says on the poster, he may be lying, but he don't need no dog. The poster is him with the sword with the shades on because he's fucking blind. And he's cutting up all these fucking guns with his sword somehow. There's like an Uzi, a shotgun, some sort of revolver. Just cutting all the barrels off of all these guns. Because he's Blind Fury, baby. He's Rutger Hauer, and he's Blind Fury. Oh, that is an awesome awesome movie poster. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. I feel like after I don't recall seeing this poster before. I think that is a movie poster I might need to get. I haven't seen that movie in decades. I'm going down some weird rabbit holes here. I'm talking Joe Pesci and Hendrix being in the Joey D and the Starlighters, the Peppermint Twist. And then all of a sudden, Blind Fury. Blind assassins, man. Watch out for them. Blind assassins. Going back to the healthcare assassination. I don't believe that guy was blind. I can't prove or disprove that he wasn't blind. But that's one fact I'm pretty sure is pretty sound. I think he was able to see. I don't think he was going off sounds. I was like, okay, that sounds like that monster that denied healthcare to my dying father. Which again, I don't know, claim to know what his background in any. I am not that guy. I was not in New York the other day. I have not been to New York in many years. Actually, the only time I've been to New York is at the airport. And I've spent, I guess you could say, in my life, I've spent maybe about 6 to 7 hours, maybe a little bit more in New York. With the handful of times I was staying at the airport there, which again, didn't leave the airport. So do you count that? Do you count that as visiting New York? Which, well, I guess I was at JFK a couple of times, so it may not even be that hours. Cause I know I went to Newark Airport a couple of times, which that's New Jersey. That doesn't really count. That definitely doesn't count. Although if you're flying in, and you want to see the Statue of Liberty and the New York skyline, from my vantage point. Now, I've only been to JFK. What is the other New York airport? Was it Heathrow or where the fuck? I know they got another big airport. I've only been to JFK and Newark, so I can't speak of those two. You're going to get a better view of New York and the New York skyline by flying into Newark. At least that was my experience of it. Maybe we just took a weird route the times I flew into JFK. But if I remember correctly, like flying into Newark was just a much better view. So if you don't fly directly in... Oh, no, was it LaGuardia? That's the other New York airport. Right? York airports. Why couldn't I not remember? Yeah, LaGuardia. That was the other big one I was thinking of. Which I guess they've got. I mean, there's other airports in New York, but as far as like international airports go, I believe the big ones are, of course, JFK and LaGuardia. as I would imagine they have like other like smaller airports. I mean, New York's a fairly large state, and they've got there's one in Buffalo Niagara International. Wonder how that airport is. It sounds cool. Yeah, the three major ones though are JFK, Newark Liberty International Airport, and LaGuardia, which I just, you know, everybody I believe knows it just as Newark. But Newark is really, I believe that's technically in New Jersey, I want to say. Yeah, it says it straddles the boundary between the cities of Newark and Essex County and Elizabeth in Union County. It's in New Jersey. I was wondering if it was like right on the line, but of like Jersey and New York, but it's in Jersey. It's in Jersey. I have not been to LaGuardia though. I need to go to LaGuardia. I want to see LaGuardia. I feel like I need that to be able to decide what's the better airport. I don't even remember seeing that like when I was booking flights. Again, not to New York, but like to overseas. That's usually not like a layover destination for whatever reason. I guess just not a lot of European flights go through there. You know, looking at pictures of it, at least the outside looks nice. I mean, I would say the worst airport I've been to is I hated fucking Detroit. Maybe it's just because I have a... I just had, I guess, a bad experience going there. It's because we were late. Thankfully, I was almost late to my flight leaving there, and they just had it was they seemed like some bad management decisions somewhere. Somebody dropped the ball. I don't remember how many international flights arrived at the same fucking time, and they didn't have the staff there to be able to smoothly process all of them through customs, and it was a fucking nightmare going through there when I came back. I think it was coming back from Germany. And yeah, Detroit, I was not real happy about that. You know, I don't know what the best airport I've been to. It might have to be, I might have to say it's overseas somewhere. But I mean, there's some nice airports in the States here. It's a tough call, and it's been years since I've gone. I mean, Dublin had a nice one. Munich was very good. Even the one in St. Petersburg was. It seemed like in certain areas were better than others. Pulkovo Airport, like they had nice. I guess they had just newer areas that were nicer than some areas. And just talking about quality of bathrooms, the restaurants, what have you, they've got some, you know, good restaurants and airports. And I miss flying, man. I still plan on going to Germany next September. And as we are approaching next year, you know, as long as I'm still employed and I've got steady income coming in, I plan on going to Germany. And, you know, who knows what will happen next year, though. If something comes up too, where we have slowed down in work, and I have to burn vacation, that's gonna totally screw me in going overseas again. But I hope to do that. That's something I really looking forward to. As Agent Fox Mulder is, man, I don't want to like say it too loud. I just kind of want to whisper it. This cat tree that I bought, like I don't know, like 2 years ago. That because he's been here for almost 3 years ago, 3 years, just like like a month or two away, and he is. I've only seen him laying this thing like once before today, and he is back in it. He is back in that tree, and it is so amazing because like I spent, it wasn't a fortune, but I spent money on that, and he would not fucking lay in that thing. And cats are fickle, man. They're fickle. I throw him an Amazon box. He thinks it's the most amazing thing in the fucking world. I spend like $60 to $70 on a fucking cat tree. Could give a shit less. And here he is. He's laying it. He seems to be enjoying himself. It's like, finally. Like, at this point, like, I don't know why I didn't get rid of it. I had it for years before he fucking would get in it at all. But, I mean, it's kind of not sturdy. Like, I ended up, because it wobbles so much, I mean, he tried to get in it, I think. Initially, I tried to put him in it, and he was like, fuck this. I'm out of here. I got three legs, man. I can't be fucking around with this shit. But I did get some Velcro that I use for putting effects pedals on my guitar pedal board. And I attached that to the carpet. So it's like Velcroed to the carpet. So it's a little bit more sturdy. Oh, but yeah, there he is. He's just laying out. And yeah, I guess I'm done here. I do need to get rolling here. As I guess always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.